CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, beautiful people.
People of Earth, how are you?
Very nice. All right, so we got Ryan and Matt in the studio this morning. It is Wednesday. It is almost the end of March. Oh, things are happening. Mm-hmm. All right, so what's going on, guys? How are you? What's news from both of you? Give us a little update there. Ryan, what's going on with you at the moment?
Nothing much, to be honest. Yeah.
Terrible.
Oh.
Terrible.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nothing much.
Just the usual, you know.
Just the usual, yeah. You know, here early, mm-hmm. getting the show going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Somebody has to do it.
Mash. Exactly. Mash has got some more exciting updates, which I think you're going to like. So we can get an update from him.
I wish I had exciting updates, Ryan. My life is just, you know, just same old, just living my life, you know, just enjoying this relationship thing, enjoying this life thing. And this past weekend, I was at an event at FNB Stadium. I was at a Johnny Walker event, and it was actually quite fun. And
wow.
It made me realize I'd actually forgotten due to COVID how crazy people can get when they get some alcohol in their system. It's something I'd completely Uh-oh. Forgotten about Uh-oh. Because at this event, cool. First of all, there was no fights. Let's just start over right.
I was about to say you've been to a few events lately where people are like piled into each other and, you know, stupid, crazy shit has happened. So it's not like you have been, you know, it's like for the last 3 years, you've just been living under a rock.
I will never live under a rock, Gareth. But yeah, I'm always in the know, you know, I'm always connected all the time. And at this event, something quite crazy happened. And it's something that I haven't seen since before COVID. There was an artist performing on stage. I believe it was Musa Keys performing on stage. And I'm just disappointed I never got this on video. But some girl just jumped on stage and just started dancing on her head and just shaking her ass. And we all thought this was part of the performance. Everybody was like, oh, look at her. Oh, wow. Oh, this is really exciting. What a curveball in this performance. But turns out, nope. A team of security guards came and they all just carried her off of the stage. And I thought to myself, why do you need so many security guards just to carry one person, one girl? I mean, she's just drunk and just wants to shake her ass. Why?
Yeah, but you know, you don't interrupt. This is something that really irritates me about people. We're living in such a narcissistic, self-centered, self-absorbed era that someone thinks they can go to an event like this. They are not the reason other people are there. Nobody came to see her. Everybody came to see this artist performing, whoever it was.
Yeah.
That's why they were there.
Get
and
the
this, this person decides, no, it's all about me. Mm. I'm going to get on the stage and I'm going to make this all about me. I'm going to take over. I'm having fun. It's got nothing to do with anyone else's enjoyment. It's all about mine. You exist in this world to affirm me. You want to take people like that? You want to take people like that and just like squash them against a wall or something? Really.
Also, I think you need that many security guards so you can take people off the stage in a way that's not very invasive. You know.
Because otherwise, they get distracted, and it, you know, then it also again it doesn't become about the artists. It becomes about the it's like a pitch invader at a sports match, right?
Yes.
Also, you have one handsy security guard, then you have a lawsuit on your hands.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear. Yeah.
That's about right.
But I mean, nowadays everybody wants attention. I mean, look at, for example, Twitter. I mean, now that people can pay for verification, everybody wants a verification. Even people who used to say, no, I don't care about not being verified. I don't care, damn. They were the first to pay. They were the first to pay for this verification thing.
Well,
what do you, yeah?
I mean, I want to ask about this because Ryan actually brought it up in a meeting yesterday with us. He, and I think Ryan's been watching this quite carefully and he's got the most to say about it. So why don't you just explain to people what Elon has decided to do there.
No, so it seems now there was an update from Elon yesterday that Twitter is now prioritizing verification accounts. So if you have a verified account, you can participate in polls as opposed to not being able to. There's now a For You, like a For You page on Twitter. So your tweets can sort of get a lot more reach randomly without people needing to follow you. And that's people like putting you onto your account kind of thing. Mm. And so that is also a verified, what's it like, a verified option. No regular account can have that. So it'll be like normal Twitter. Like if you're just following people, then that. But basically Elon Musk is cracking down and basically wanting everybody to pay. Now it's seven. It was eight. But now if you go through Twitter, it's $7.
How much is that in South Africa?
So it's 150 rand.
So it went down from 200 rand to 150 rand per month.
It's 200 rand if you go through like the app store or if you go through a third party payment system, but it's 150 on directly through Twitter on their desktop website.
You know what's not 150 rand? My Netflix subscription. And Twitter doesn't entertain me quite as much. It doesn't entertain me enough for me to give up my Netflix subscription. For me, it's an either or. I'm really paying for way too much crap. I'm not going to now start paying for Twitter as well. I've had Twitter for free for years and amassed all these followers tweeting my dumb thoughts. Why am I now going to start paying for people to see my dumb thoughts?
Well, we had a little discussion during the meeting yesterday about exactly this. Mm. Like, are we, for example, going to pay to have the Cliff Central Twitter account verified? And are we going to keep mine with a blue tick? So I haven't even checked. When do they switch it off? When are they going to change my Twitter to an ordinary one?
So legacy verification. So basically, if you were verified beforehand because of some sort of celebrity status or just that kind of thing will fall away as of, I think, next week.
Oh. So, Gareth, I want to hear your thoughts. Do you want to keep your verification or not?
No, I don't care. I mean, I really don't give a shit. So Elon can take it away. I'm not going to feel like I've lost anything. Ryan Ray, you know, raised some good points in the discussion, though. He said, look, there may be advantages to reaching people, to having the kind of clout that you have now, to be able to prove to people that you are the real whoever you say you are. I mean, there are things there that would make sense if Twitter was my main source of income, for example, or if we couldn't survive without it or whatever. But I've pretty much been kind of doing nothing with Twitter for 5 years anyway. So do I give a shit that they're not going to give me a blue tick? Not really. And also, I mean, I asked the question around the table. I'm like, well, who's going to give up 150 rand of their salary every month just so that we can keep something like this? And I'm not going to be the one. So nobody else wants to do it. So that's it. That's the answer. No. Would you?
Okay, I can give it up. Yeah. I don't care a damn about this Twitter verification. In fact, I believe because I was scrolling through Twitter yesterday and noticed that all of my friends have blue ticks now. Every single one of them. I am the only one. And it made me realize that pretty soon not having a blue tick is going to be the blue tick. It's going to be the new blue tick.
Yeah. That's also my argument. I think it's going to look lame because everybody who wants attention and is all about themselves and all that shit that we just spoke about with that girl on the stage at the concert, all of those people are going to do everything they can to be like, look at me. So they're going to pay. Mm. And it's going to make them feel better. No, and then they're going to forget that they've got a debit order every month. And it's going to be like a subscription to something on the internet that you forget to cancel. But the people who will be interesting and will be cool will be the ones who used to have or might still have like hundreds of thousands or even millions of followers and choose not to have the tick because who cares, right?
Who cares? I could never imagine having a debit order every month that says Twitter as a reference. That just makes me sick.
Like my whole other debate is, you know, these social media platforms are, you know, people use them for businesses to make money. Like some people rely on social media to make money. And from that point of view, I see where Elon Musk is going, because he's like, you know what? You guys are making money off this platform for free. So he wants to get kind of involved in that for just something, you know, like a small amount or whatever. So from that point of view, I understand it. But as you say, if it's not your primary source of income, then it's not a thing. But he's also trying to make it like a content creation platform. He wants to eventually start monetizing content as well. But that's all going to come like later. So it's going to be like almost like a YouTube thing, but not like YouTube. So we'll see how it goes.
Look, I'd rather pay for YouTube Premium. I'd much rather pay for YouTube Premium different. Because I'm actually getting value. And you telling me that, oh, your tweets are going to reach more people, to me sounds like you're making me pay for clout. And I will never pay for clout.
Yeah.
Ever. I've been tweeting for years and had many of my tweets and articles without any blue tick. And I'm going to continue doing so.
That's exactly what William Shatner said, right, Ryan? I mean, William Shatner was on Twitter arguing with Elon about exactly this. I don't see the point. Like, obviously, if you're one of those people who desperately needs to be recognized and famous, then go for it. But I'm not going to be joining that crew. Is anybody in the audience super excited about this? Is there anybody who's listening to us this morning who thinks, oh, well, that's something I'd pay for? That's something I need.
And if you're listening in the audience and maybe there's something we missed, maybe there's some extra features that you're getting that we haven't mentioned this morning, please share that with us as well.
Of course. Like, let's make an informed decision here. But really, I don't think it's going to change my life if I suddenly decide not to have, you know, verification on Twitter.
Absolutely. I see Ricky Lowe here says that Twitter can help promote your OnlyFans page, Mash. It can make you the money. Okay, Ricky, you're actually coming with a good point there. And my OnlyFans has been quite dry for a bit since, you know, relationshiping. So I need to get back on that bandwagon. So I might consider it.
How do you manage an OnlyFans with a relationship going on? Ooh, I mean, a lot of people in a relationship wouldn't be very happy to share their partner with an OnlyFans account. Have you had that discussion?
Good question.
Gareth, when the money comes in, what is your partner going to say? Similar to, there's a famous OnlyFans creator. Her name is Xoli Mfeka. She's quite popular, even internationally. She has the biggest ass you've ever seen. And her manager is her boyfriend. He manages her and he actually schedules shoots for her and stuff like that. You can check it out on that show, This Body Works For Me, where they just follow a whole bunch of like sex workers and OnlyFans creators and so forth. But her boyfriend is her manager and he seems to be fine with it. The money's coming in. The bond is paid.
Does this make him a certified pimp?
Ryan, no.
I'm asking the question.
No, it doesn't make him a certified pimp because they are shooting it. It's not prostitution if you shoot it.
I didn't say it was prostitution. I just said, is he a pimp?
No. It's not prostitution if you shoot it. If there's a camera.
I don't know. I mean, where do you, you know, for you, it's obviously not a big issue, Mash, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But for some people, they would not be comfortable being in a relationship with somebody who's doing OnlyFans.
Have you actually had this conversation?
No, we just had the...
Oh, well, there it is.
But there's another conversation that we had. We did open a joint account. Now it just makes life so much easier for the both of us. And I know that Simpiwe is very much against it. Simpiwe is just raving and just jumping on walls saying that things are moving too fast in my relationship. But the reason for every single decision that we make is... it's just objectively about convenience. It's just objectively about making our life together, easier. And that starts off with a joint account. And possibly even like we're considering actually moving in together as well. It's just for convenience.
I think a joint account is fine. I mean, if you're both putting the same amount into it and you're both using it for expenses or whatever, you're living together, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
I reckon, you know, if you get married, you probably should have a joint account, but you can also have some money separately.
Yes. You know? No,
it doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be like just, you have to choose. You're forced to choose, gun to your head, you know?
Yes. No, it'll never be one or the other. So our reasoning for actually creating a joint account was based off of, as you know, we went on vacation 2 weeks back. And one thing we realized is that we kept arguing about, not even arguing, but it was always a challenge, like, who's paying? Who's, am I paying? Are you paying? Are you paying 50-50? Oh, what are we doing exactly?
Oh, boy.
So we then decided, you know what? Let's just open a joint account because it's going to make life so much easier when we're traveling, going on dates and so forth, because then we just have one account where we know that, okay, I put in 10 grand this month. You put in 10 grand as well. And we can go about our merry ways. We can actually go on our trips. We can, you know, buy souvenirs. We can do all kinds of fun things, go for dinners, lunches, activities without having to stress, without having to worry about the admin of it all. Like, oh, Mash organized this, so he must pay for everything. No, you know, it makes us equal. We're on a level playing field as a result. And that's something I appreciate so much when you actually get to dive in and understand the logistics behind it.
I think that it requires a lot of adult conversations. And if you can have those earlier on in your relationship, that's better. Mm-hmm. People avoid this stuff, which is way more dangerous. You know, if you're pretending nothing's happening, let's talk about this later, and you keep postponing it. You know, it's not something that you want to discuss now, and you avoid the conversation. That's way worse.
Absolutely. No.
So how does this joint account work? So if something were to happen, just if, you know, God forbid.
God forbid indeed.
Who gets the money? Is it a 50-50 split? Does somebody have admin access over the other one? Can it just be like shut down by somebody else?
If something were to happen, it's my money. It's my money.
So even,
but no,
even his money that's in the joint account will be then yours.
No, we can just split it up evenly. We can just 50-50 it. If something were to happen.
I don't see how this is Simpiwe's business or Ryan's business or anyone else's. I don't think you owe none of these people an explanation over any of this stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, for us, it's all about convenience. And, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of, things are moving too fast. Oh my goodness. And, even on social media, people are saying, Mesh and his scammer partner. And I've seen a lot of it. And that's not the case at all. Everything we do is informed. Everything we do, we're thinking with our minds, not with our hearts. And if you actually look at it from that perspective, you would understand that, these two people are actually having serious conversations, and it's not all love lives here, lovey dovey, kissy kissy. And we're having serious conversations on a daily basis.
I think it's very adult. And I would love to know who these people are who, first of all, have all these opinions about this when they're not involved in the relationship. They probably haven't spent a lot of time around you and your partner. I don't see how it's their business. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, it's something that I'm still working on. But, yeah, we're living our best lives here at Love Lives Here. Beste Liefa.
Good for you. All right. I want to ask you about something, both of you and everybody who's listening to us this morning. Just a few questions about one or two things. So, apparently, this has now become an issue. The Statue of David, which you know is a famous statue by Michelangelo. It's in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence. And people, you know, if you don't know what the Statue of David is, it's suddenly getting an enormous amount of attention from people because apparently a teacher at school was discussing art with her students and put this picture up on, you know, a picture of the David up on the screen. And one of the parents of the kids had a huge problem with this. Why? Because the David statue is naked. You could see the penis. And, you know, I don't know what age these kids were, because I do think there's an age discussion that needs to be had around this. Anyway, this teacher was shat on by the parents, and I'm all for parents being involved in their kids' education. I'm all for parents being the ones who decide, but this is art. This is not sex. And I think there are a lot of really childish and stupid people who actually need to have it explained to them. Hey, listen, we're not showing your children porn. This is one of the most famous, if not the most famous, statue in the world.
Mm.
It's not about the genitalia. It is a fantastically well-known and fantastically beautiful work of art. There are people who travel all over from every corner of the globe to see this thing. And you now want us to what? Blur it out to what childish nonsense is this? And believe me, in any other argument, I would be on the parents' side. But over art, really, are we being this stupid that now that David must be covered up because, you know, it's now what? It's offensive to somebody. Come on. What
this are we even doesn't make about? Sense.
This is ridiculous.
This is absolutely porn. Art is not porn.
Correct.
Art is not porn. It's completely different. And the fact that, for starters, my definition of porn, let's start there. My definition of porn, especially in terms of a statue, especially in terms of the male physique, it has to start with, something being erect to start off with.
That is correct. I think that would be.
That's when we cross the line and go over into porn. This statue is even flaccid. The only hot thing about it is the material it's made of. And people confusing this for something that it's not, it kind of shows you where their minds are at. Their minds are in the gutter. And to them, and you might find that their kids didn't even know what the word porn was. Their kids didn't even know. They weren't even viewing things like that. Yes, they might have been giggling in class going like, hey, look, a penis. Cool. But they weren't taking it to a sexual place until the parents came in. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I want to know what age these kids were because, you know, there are going to be some kids of a certain age who are going to be more childish and stupid about this. And that's going to happen and there's nothing we can do about it. But
so the kids were in sixth grade. It was a class of sixth grade art class. And
okay. So that's what, like first year of high school?
No, sixth grade.
No.
That's like 12 years old.
No, sixth grade is 2 years before high school.
Yeah, it's 12 years old.
All right. But I mean, really and truly, we live in an age of the internet. And again, I'm on the parents' side 90% of the time. But we live in an age of the internet. A lot of these kids already have cell phones at age 12. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have been on the internet already at age 12. They've seen way worse things, even if they inadvertently stumbled upon them, even if it's from friends who are sending them WhatsApps. I just think this is, you know, your energy is wasted fighting Michelangelo's David when there are actual serious problems going on in the world. Mm. Is there a parent who would disagree?
You know, remember Gareth, the parents, the woke brigade is now becoming the parents. Those woke people with the blue ticks there on Twitter are now becoming the parents. And that's where the danger starts because now they're going to start trying to mold their kids into pathetic humans just like them. People who cannot think for themselves, people who see everything at face value and cannot actually discern between this thing has meaning and this thing doesn't. Or if there is extra attached meaning to something, let me research. Let me learn something. Let me educate my child as well in the process. No, I want my child to be a dumb nimwit just like me who just looks at everything and takes it at face value. That's exactly what we're going into now.
And waits to get upset and offended by everything.
Everything.
Anyone in the world gives a shit what offends you. I mean, it's just the most incredibly stupid, belly-gazing nonsense in the world. I'm going to tell you what's offensive to me. Ooh, that's going to make you exciting. Exactly the opposite is true.
How long has this statue been around?
Oh, since the 1500s.
Okay, so now because of this little group of parents, all of a sudden it must be dismantled, must be destroyed because they don't want their kids. Their kids are so special after all these hundreds of years. They have the special kids.
Yeah. These are the kids that need to be protected from Michelangelo's most famous statue, dummies.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know how to. Is there a parent who kind of offends anyone?
I don't know. Go ahead, I had a teacher in grade six. I can't remember. I remember the day he called us, I think we were having a free lesson. And I remember he called us to look at something on his laptop. And there was a mini Cooper that had a naked woman on it. but it was like an animated thing, and he got fired because of that at our school.
Wait, how did he get fired? Who told?
I don't know. All the kids thought of, I don't know. I can't remember what we thought of it. We didn't think it was like anything bad. We thought like it was
Somebody must have thought. One of you was woke.
I mean, no one listened to us as kids in school. I never had a choice in anything. If I had to do stuff I didn't want to do, since when do like kids and parents have says in what goes on? I wish I did.
That is absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, I remember in grade six, I was very much in the know. I was aware. I was born in the know and aware of everything that's happening around me. I mean, in grade six, I remember, I already knew what porn was. You know, I actually already had a crush on one of my teachers. Yes, I was a bit crazy. That does sound a bit crazy thinking back, but I was a child. I wasn't actioning anything. I was just a child observing the world, experiencing it for the first time. And for me, certain things were like, oh, okay, boobs. Okay. We used to stay up until midnight watching ETV and seeing this stuff as well.
I have to say, I don't think it's ideal for kids to grow up with things like hardcore porn in their lives too early. I think that's bound to screw them up. It's bound to mess up their idea of what sex is and what, you know, bodily autonomy is and what consent is and, you know, even what love is. I think it's going to mess with a kid's head, but I really don't think that the Statue of David fits into this discussion at all. I mean, to me, you know, there are so many great famous paintings with like naked people in them, but they're great works of art and it's not there for sex. That's not what the painting's about. And certainly that's not what the statue's about. So I'm flabbergasted because as somebody who would usually be on the side of the people who would say, no, this is not acceptable for kids to see something. Especially because I do think in the world at the moment, there are just too many kids are just exposed to stuff way too early and it does mess them up.
It does.
But in this case, it's just ridiculous. So, okay, let's move on. I got to my car yesterday after it'd been parked for what we were at the office from 10 hours. So look at what happened. I don't know what was living in the tree above my car, but look at this. That's unbelievable, right?
By the way, that was my windscreen yesterday. I actually had to go to the garage and ask the guy to actually clean it off.
Where are you guys parking?
Get under the trees. You're parking not under the trees.
Dude, so what the hell makes that on a car? I mean, you could stack the whole bonnet.
Jeez. You'd think it's a person. It's a woke person who did this. Jesus.
A lot of shit, right?
That's a lot of shit.
If you can't see it, let me describe it to you. You might be listening to the podcast. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 enormous bird shit splats. Enormous. Mm. Each of them as big as your hand. Mm. I don't know what makes this. Is it Hardy-Dars? Is it a pterodactyl from the Jurassic era? Is it a condor from America? I mean, what is able to... Those are enormous amounts of shit. Whatever bird that is, you know, this bird must have an asshole as big as a horse's asshole.
Jesus. No, it is absolutely crazy. And, you know, as a result, my car looks like that almost every day. And now now we're going into autumn. So leaves are falling from the trees as well. And this is other sort of precipitation that happens when you park under the trees. There's like little dots, lots of little tiny shiny dots that show up on your car when you park under the trees as well. I don't know what that is, but somebody told me like, yo, you gotta stop parking under trees. It actually damages your car's paint in the long term because there's this this stuff that falls from the trees as well. It looks glossy, makes your car look almost glossy.
I would have thought that parking under the sun is worse for the paint on your car. I mean, if you're in the baking hot sun during the summer, that's probably worse. Now it turns out if you park under the trees, I mean, these poor cars, they have to weather all kinds of things that are going on. Carl DeSantos says, well, you parked at Lutuli House. That's a lot of shit. Janet says it's Hardy-Dar art.
Oh my goodness.
Sure.
No, it's Hardy does it. Like, since you wouldn't have us on the show, might as well make our mark.
And speaking of animals, and this is quite a sad story. I actually checked it out with Anthony Miederer, who, you know, used to do Blind History with me and is a big conservationist. Mm. This is a bunch of pictures, which I'll show you, you know, close-ups in a moment, but of a great white shark, which was enormous. It was washed up on the outer banks of North Carolina at a beach there. A team of onlookers were doing their best to push it back into the ocean, but it was already dead. And look at the size of this shark. Just
gee, to whale. Give
that was truly that is a massive.
Big bastard. So Anthony tells me that it's real. This is a real story. It's not fake news. And he reckons it must have taken 30 years for that shark to get that big. Isn't that sad?
It looks exactly like Jaws.
Yeah, it's an enormous big fish. It's, I mean, this is really
terrifying.
It is, my whole thing is, are you going to be the guy helping to push it back if it's still alive?
Because
flick of that tail, you are done.
And if it opens its mouth and takes your head in, you're also done.
Yes.
You know, just because it's not going to be able to digest you, because it's definitely going to be dead if it isn't already by the time you're pushing it in. If it's just slightly alive and it decides to bite your head off, you're still going to lose your head.
Yeah.
But you know, the woke people will be like, oh, at least it's alive. You know, at least the shark is fine. That's all that matters. Yeah, it ate Mash, Jabulani, but it's fine. Yeah.
Mash is definitely very pissed off with woke people today.
Mm-mm. I'm very pissed with woke people, especially when on Friday we had a little drinks. We invited some friends over for drinks. And then one of them was telling me that she has a colleague who unfortunately couldn't make it. But she was like, this colleague of ours, actually her cat died a few weeks ago. And she actually took the day off. She took leave and we called her to check up on her and she was crying and we video called her. She had tears running down her face. She was just wiping her face with tissues and she just had the curtains closed. It was dark. She was just depressed and she didn't understand. She didn't understand. And she was like, how do people care about animals this much? Because these same people, if anything tragic were to happen to a human, they wouldn't care as much. They wouldn't be all, my life is falling apart.
And it's a funny thing. There are people in this world who have actually started to, I think, you know, maybe it's lonely people. It might also be people who just, maybe some people just love their pets. Listen, I love my pets, but you know, when my Carl died last year in, what was it, March? It was about this time last year. And I'd had him for 11 years. Obviously, I was very, very upset about it. But did I miss a day of work? Hell no. Did I fall in a heap and like sit in frozen grief for like 3 weeks? Of course not. You have to move on. And I mean, honestly, it's all self-indulgence too, because the pet's not going to come back. It's like if you're really upset about a person dying, your crying is not going to make them come back. And they would want you to carry on with your life if they loved you. Right?
Absolutely. They would. They absolutely would. So it's something that I've seen quite a lot of, especially with the woke brigade. Nowadays, people care more about animals than people. It's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's an argument to be made that where human beings treat animals badly, and we do. Mm. There's no doubt about it. We eat them. We kill them. We drive over them. We destroy their habitat. We are pretty much the single biggest reason that animals suffer on planet Earth. And there is an argument to be made that animals can't speak for themselves, that no one's looking out for them and no one's looking out for the environment. And there's a certain amount of like sensible conversation you should have around that. But once it gets to like, you know, people's pets are as important as other people's children, I'm afraid that's just not true. That's really not true.
Reminds me of that. Reminds me a lot of what was that monkey's name? The gorilla? Was it Harambe?
Harambe.
Harambe, yeah.
What did Harambe do again that got him?
Poor Harambe did nothing. Harambe was just in his enclosure at the zoo and some stupid ass woman let her child climb over the railings and climb into Harambe's enclosure. And then they shot Harambe dead because they were worried that Harambe would attack this child. But the fucking stupid child shouldn't have been allowed in the enclosure in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Harambe's side on this one.
Yeah.
You see? Exactly. Our animals are helpless, and to a certain extent, we do have to support them as well, in certain circumstances, of course. And it's, it reminds me of those people. I like watching videos of people handling snakes on social media. And then some of them get bitten. And then they like, and literally there was a video I saw of a guy who just got bitten by a snake. And he was like, look, oh no, I'm just going to put it down. He just bit me, guys. He just bit me. I want to put it down quickly. Yeah. No, no, don't hurt it. Don't hurt it. And I picked it up. It's fine. It's fine. And I actually respected this guy because I was like, wow, he knows if you fuck around, you're going to find out. And he bothered the animal. The animal bit him. And he's aware that, okay, this animal doesn't deserve to die as a result. That's something right. that I really did respect. Yeah. But we cross the line when people start caring about animal lives more than human lives, especially, yes, there are some helpless animals, lots of helpless animals, like a cat. Why would you kill a cat? Cats are so cute and adorable. Dogs as well, cute and adorable, unless they're pit bulls, which are mauling our kids. For example,
well, I mean, Sean makes a very good point too, and it's something that I've discussed with people who are big pet advocates as well. What breed of dog would survive if all humans were gone? And that's a good point. Most dogs would probably not. I mean, maybe pit bulls. Maybe your huskies and your malamutes, and I don't even know if a pit bull would make it.
Mm-mm.
Because a pit bull's not actually a hunting dog; they're fighting dogs.
It's just but aggressive. They're not, yeah.
So I don't know if they'd be able to find their own food. I mean, most dogs, if they didn't have their owners, would die. And they wouldn't be able to compete out there. A lot of dogs are bred to be companions or, you know, like kind of tiny little decoration dogs. They're not really able to – they couldn't hunt, that's for sure.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's worth considering that, you know. There are some dogs, obviously, that would probably make it. I'm not sure which ones. You know, Boss says an Afrikaner dog, absolutely. A Jack Russell, they'd probably survive.
Jack Russells can always find a way.
All right, so can I ask you guys your opinion on this quickly? My family has been laughing all week. Apparently, King Philippe of Belgium came to visit South Africa the other day, and I don't even know what he was here for. He was here with his wife, and I'm not sure whether he some kind of state visit or something. Apparently it was very badly organized from our side, and it was a bit of a mess, which is why we probably didn't even know it was happening. But my whole family have been taking the piss, saying I look like King Philippe of Belgium, and if I, you know, when I get older I'll look like him. So I'm not sure how much older, but here's the picture that they were sending around and laughing about.
Oh, Jesus. Gareth, are you sure it's not AI? You aged yourself here, right?
Well, this is it, right? So my whole family is saying, and it's not the first time someone has said I look like this guy. But look, he's not the ugliest guy in the world. He's got his hair, and he's probably in his, what, 60s? So if that's what I've got to look forward to, cool. I'm not going to be crying in my sleep tonight. And he is a king, which is better than being, you know, you look like that homeless person on the side of the road. That would be a lot worse. But I know for a fact that this is not he didn't meet my mom like a couple of years ago and like take advantage of her. So I'm definitely not his kid. But a lot of people are saying this looks like me, and I'm just a little bit worried about what I've got to look forward to.
So you don't have any Belgium ancestry at all, Gareth? Just making sure.
No,
maybe in the past.
I'm very distantly related to that guy's family, but distantly. I mean, like 8th or 9th cousins. So it's a long way away. You don't look like someone who's your 8th or 9th cousin. I mean, that is what I'm going to look like when I'm old.
That is jarring. Literally, even the hair.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, if that's what you have to worry about, I don't think you have much to worry about.
It is way too jarring for me. Mm-mm.
You don't have to go for another trip to Turkey, you know.
I see Tracy Bart says you're definitely the bastard child of a Belgian crown prince.
Well, I mean, if that's true. Then I'm gonna go over to Belgium and claim some of that Belgian royal money.
You can easily claim. They won't even do a blood test. They'll just look at you and be like, "Ha, obviously."
I'm just thinking, like, where the hell did our government take this guy? Because if it wasn't planned properly, Where on earth did they take him?
I mean, I don't watch the news, so I wasn't even sure if it was. I only knew that this guy was here was because my whole family had climbed onto the WhatsApp group and started laughing. But otherwise, I wouldn't even have known he was in the country. Did you know that he was here?
I think I also didn't know, but I think maybe they looked at him. Maybe they looked at his passport as he was entering and thought, oh, he's just visiting the Cliff family. So let's just leave him to do his thing.
Was he also possibly trying to get away from some cops? Just asking.
Why? Because do you think he's done something he shouldn't have done, Ryan? I mean, I'm not sure what you mean.
Because, you know, there was rumors that Putin's coming over here.
Ooh, oh, right. Yeah. Well, no one's trying to arrest, as far as I can tell, no one's trying to arrest the King Philippe of Belgium. But who knows? Maybe he's also done some crazy stuff.
And no one would. Although it would be funny, like, if he got like pulled over speeding and then the cops ask him for a Coke or something. That would be hilarious.
Tracy says, during a press conference, the royal couple was asked about their trip and the comment was, it was pure chaos. Not surprised. Oh, you know, I just want to say to anybody in the Department of Foreign Affairs or in the presidency or whoever organizes these things, it is like diplomacy 101. That you organize a state visit properly, you idiots. Is there no one in protocol who could do this properly? You know, if you invite the head of state of another country, whoever that country is, to South Africa, and their trip is so bad that when at a press conference they asked how it was and they go, it was pure chaos. That is the worst reflection in our country that you can possibly imagine. Where is Cyril Ramaphosa? Is he asleep at the wheel? Somebody tell me what he does all day. What is this man doing? Does he sit at home and, I don't know, garden? Does he twiddle his thumbs? Is he playing fucking solitaire? What is the president doing?
If you can think back to when Ramaphosa was invited to the UK for the King's first... inauguration or I don't know.
It was the first head of state visit. Right.
And then, do you remember how they rolled out the red carpet for us? Even though no South African thought he deserved it, it was actually...
Everybody was complaining. They're like, we're in the darkness and he's in the UK rubbing shoulders with the kings.
No, but
and
also,
the
I don't know if you saw, like in the main, I don't know what they call that thing leading up to the castle. I mean, all the flags were changed to South Africa. They really went out of their way. And it's just like, we don't ever do the same. I think for the World Cup.
We probably put this Belgian king into like some 3-star hotel and then gave him an Uber voucher. I mean, I wouldn't put it past our government to be that shit at their job.
Shame, the poor guy, they just sent him to some Formula One and then they just sent him there in a meter, not even an Uber, a Bolt. Or a meter, that Toyota Agya is what picked him up.
I mean, you know, whether you like a country or not, I mean, Vladimir Putin is coming. Let's hope we don't piss him off because he will nuke us.
He will. He will.
What's he doing? What's this president of ours doing? I mean, Matthew says he's playing Candy Crush. Sean says he's walking his dog on Cape Town waterfront and shaking hands with old ladies.
I think he's our uncle in the furniture business.
Furniture with money in it. But you know what? Candy Crush is addictive, so I wouldn't blame him for that. And I don't know what the hell he's doing. I don't know. Honestly, I think he's our first, I would say, celebrity president. This man is he's quite obsessed with the glitz and glamour of it all, is one thing I've noticed. Every now and he's always taking walks. People are always taking selfies with him all the time.
Hiding his money in sofas. I mean, you know, I used to think that this guy would be a better president than Jacob Zuma. And I mean, listen, when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, how hard could it be?
Born in the land of the blind, Gareth.
Sammy says that Cyril was 1 hour late for meeting the king. I mean, can't you get your shit together? Are you such a fucking lame, bored, stupid, undisciplined ass that you cannot get. I mean, every time we had a family meeting, remember? The whole country's sitting waiting and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. He's always late every time. This guy, I don't know who's running. listen, everybody in the presidency at the Union Building should be fired. This staff of his, they must push him out onto stage at the right time. They must make sure also, someone calls him, wakes him up. Someone makes sure that he's dressed. Someone makes sure that they wheel him out for the right occasions. What
there's
is
no
doing?
Order. Remember when his iPad went missing?
Oh, that was funny.
That was exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was like, how does...
But the worst part was him standing up and going, oh, I don't know where my iPad is.
He was looking for his iPad. My iPad. Yeah.
This is the president of the republic. This is not some like actor on a soap opera.
That was very disappointing.
But also, I find like South Africa doesn't have the same, I want to say clout, but it's the wrong word. Like when it comes to the presidency, right? You see in America, when they have like a national announcement, all the TVs yep. like go blank. Then there's like yeah. their logo that stands yes. out there. And then it's the best sound, the best camera quality. Right. When we had those family meetings in lockdown, I mean, it just looked like they went to some regular school, got like two or three cameras that just stood still, and the sound was terrible.
And they still couldn't start.
They couldn't
on time.
Get a working microphone. And then when they wanted to make it nice, after like when they did the first meeting of this year, they had to go to Cape Town and borrow the DA's hall to make it look good.
You know, this guy, I remember Bulelo saying also, he's supposedly like our president's a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
So he made all this money before he became president. But he cannot even get someone to make him a decent suit. That was Mulelo's biggest problem with him. He said that he wears really shitty suits, like his suits don't fit him properly. And I always thought, that's a little bit childish and pedantic to be talking yeah. about the guy's suit. But then I thought about it. I'm like, actually, there's no excuse. If you're a billionaire, you fly you're the president of a country and you're a billionaire. You fly out the best tailor you can find from London or Hong Kong or who cares? Like even from the Joburg CBD, and you sit them down, you say, right, you're going to measure me up. You're going to take down those measurements. We're going to make 20 suits in different colors, and it's going to cost me nothing because I'm a billionaire. And it's going to take only a couple of minutes for you to measure me up, and then you can make the best suits ever for me. And I will look decent when I go on national television to announce to everybody that they're going to be locked down.
What I can add to that, Gareth, is that obviously there's points of relatability, and I know a couple of PR practitioners, and they would say to me, look, the reason why our president dresses kind of shitty is because he has to be relatable to the people. Who wants a president who's wearing Gucci, for example?
But he isn't relatable. He isn't relatable anyway. We all know he's a billionaire. We all know that his wife is a Motsepe. We all know that his brother-in-law is Patrice Motsepe. We all know that his other sister-in-law is, the Bridget Khadebe. We know that this family's rich. Who are we trying to, you're going to lie to people who already know the truth?
You have to be relatable anyways. Like, for example, you're going to see some people in Soweto, or you're going to Limpopo in the rural areas. You can't show up there in a Gucci suit or the best tailored suit ever. You look like you just landed
as a president. You know what? It's not about you and relatability, Mash. It's about representing your country. I'm sorry. At that level, it's important. It's fine if Mash and Gareth and Ryan, we have our own way of dressing, and we, maybe we don't want to wear formal stuff all the time because we're not the president of the country. But you're meeting the other people who are heads of state. You know, Robert Mugabe, you can say whatever you like about him. You can say he was a crazy crackpot dictator. He was at the top for too long. He was a crazy mad killer. You could say all kinds of things about him, but he always looked absolutely presentable. Mandela always looked presentable. Thabo Mbeki always looked presentable. Yeah. You've never seen Prince Charles King Charles now look like shit. You've never seen Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Barack Obama come out on stage and look like they've just crawled out of bed and their jacket was left in a pile on the floor. That's what our president looks like when he goes out on stage. And I know we're piling onto him here, but it's a disgrace that some foreign visiting head of state comes here and in a press conference in front of the whole world says, My visit to South Africa was absolute chaos. Chaos.
Yeah. It's not, it's not a good look for us.
It's not on.
We don't even want a foreign tourist who's paid their own money coming to South Africa to go, it was chaos. We've got to look after our guests. Imagine if someone comes to your house and you've invited them because they're a friend of yours and you really want them to have a good time. And then they leave your house. And on the way out, you say to them, did you enjoy that? And they go, no, that was absolute chaos. How's that going to make you feel?
Not great.
Not great. I just think it's unacceptable that this is going on. And I know, you know, we've been talking about this for a while now, and there are probably some people who go, oh, please, there are much bigger things to worry about in the world. But if you can't get that stuff right, then how are you going to sit down and talk about the big stuff? How are you going to sit down and talk to, I don't know, the president of France and say to him, we need better trade relations between us and South Africa, or between you and us? How are we going to say to Russia, we need to buy some of your oil, when he's looking at your suit going, wow, that is one creased ass suit. Did this guy just have a shower in his suit?
Or that dumbass like ANC golf shirt that they wear.
Oh,
well, those horrible, those leather jackets, those ANC leather jackets they've made. Aren't those the worst? Dogozo says, president that wears a Markham suit is not relatable.
Yeah, he does.
Boris Johnson is probably exceptional to all the other leaders looking sharp. Well, he also always looked like shit. And it bothered the people of Britain. It bothered them. It embarrassed them.
His hair was the first thing in conversation at every interview.
Right. All right. And then one last thing I want to throw in, because I think that this is just unbelievable. If you think that we have, you know, problems in South Africa, and we do, with housing and with space for people, just take a look at the biggest apartment building in the world in China. They can fit 36,000 people into this building. That is where people live. Somewhere in China, there's this apartment building. 36,000 people live in this one building. And it looks horrible. It looks like you've got no space at all. The people have got a whole lot of their shit on the balconies, which you can see on the right-hand side. The balconies, you know, on the right, you can see a close-up of some of the apartments. Does this look like an ant heap to you, or is it just me?
Can you imagine this WhatsApp group?
No, it does. It does look like an ant heap.
Imagine the neighborhood WhatsApp group in this block of flats, huh? Mm-mm. Jesus, right. How scary.
Somebody on this floor is way too loud. Turn it down.
Someone on floor 79. And, you know, it reminds me a lot of our sort of living here in South Africa. So I have a friend who's actually looking for a house at the moment, and she's been looking around, comparing and so forth. And she's been looking at lots of complexes and estates. Right. And she comes back to me and says, you know, people are paying a lot to live like ants in this country. Mm-hmm. They're paying a lot to live like ants. You're all bundled on top of each other. People are paying upwards of like 2 million, 3 million, sometimes even 4 million rand to be bundled on top of each other and not even have a garage. Have your car parked under a canopy outside. And people are willing to do that. And then when I see this, it makes me realize that, no, we're not living like ants. Not quite as much. We're more living like ants.
So that's spacious, man.
I mean, that looks really, really crazy. I mean, if you have a leak and you're on the 10th floor and there's like all the floors under you, they're screwed, right?
But remember that if you're on the top floor, you have a leak, it's only going to reach the bottom floor in like maybe 3 months. They'll be like, someone's house is leaking. Yeah.
I always worry about these very big buildings if there's an earthquake or strong winds or whatever, because now you've built this unbelievably big building. And if something goes wrong, there are a lot of lives that can be lost. You know, a lot will go wrong. You're not messing around.
And you know, Gareth, in my current place, also my previous place as well, when somebody ups, I've always lived on the first floor. I'm a first floor baby. And whenever somebody upstairs, no matter what floor they're on, flushes their toilet, I hear it in my bathroom. It passes through our pipes. Now imagine living in a building where there is like 100 floors above you on the first floor. And every time someone flushes, it's just, you know, and I remember at my previous place, it was actually the plumbing wasn't so good either, because sometimes when people flush a big load, it'll actually go up my toilet. And
then, and it, that's nice.
You hear it going.
You just hear bubbling and you look in the toilet. I'm like, I flushed this toilet. I cleaned this toilet this morning.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that someone else's turd comes into your toilet?
Comes into my toilet bowl at my previous place. So that's part of the reason why I had to leave. So I would always be like,
I wish we brought this up at the beginning of the show. This would be the only thing we'd be talking about. That is disgusting.
I am a very clean person. I am OCD. And one thing I always make sure of is my toilet is always clean. I'm not those people where you come to my house. Oh, I need the bathroom. Oh, let me just fix it for you quickly. Oh, give me a second. Let me just run in there quickly. No, my bathroom is always ready.
So, and yet you worried about an Audi that's just randomly parked in your parking lot with a
sweater. No, by the way, it's still there with the lights on. But bon.
Hold on. Let's not get distracted. I think Mash has raised a very important point. People who have dirty bathrooms are disgusting people.
If I have to come to your house and you have to be like, and I say I need the bathroom, give me a second, let me just, and you have to run into the bathroom quickly before me. Immediately, I don't want to use your bathroom. I do not want to use it. That is nasty.
You're telling me, I just want to be clear about this. So you would be in your house, in your apartment, you'd be sitting watching TV, you'd suddenly hear like a bubbling noise, and then you'd see someone else's turd come through into your bathroom.
Yes. This was at my previous place. Remember, the walls were so thin that if I sneezed, I heard bless you from next door. So this place was offices that were converted into apartments, and they put like asbestos walls, but they didn't even add soundproofing. It was bad, Gareth. It was bad. I was living like an ant. And
that's terrible,
I think it was similar living to this apartment building in China.
I don't even want to imagine it. That's the worst thing ever. All right. Mm-hmm. Listen, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I will be introducing you to someone called Lorna Mlonzi, who you're going to be. I mean, this woman's story is absolutely jarring and frightening and incredible and also hugely inspirational. But you're not going to believe it. You want to hear the story of someone who was shot 9 times and survived? And you want to hear how she survived? That's all coming up next. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. It is Wednesday morning. CliffCentral.com.